Hello, everyone, and welcome to Leap of Faith Podcast. I'm Lorraine. I'm your host. And today we are episode 119.5, and we are reading 2 Kings chapter 5. So welcome to everybody out there. Glad you can make it and take a little bit of time out of your day to dig in and get into God's Word. So glad you're here. I'm glad that I'm able to be able to read and lead you in this Bible study, and hopefully maybe tomorrow we'll be able to get Jeremiah back in on it. So I'm going to go ahead and pray. I found my Bible verse for the day. I was searching somewhere else, and then I happened to look on the back of the Daily Walk Bible that we've been using for the last 2.5 years, and found the Bible verse that I feel kind of continues with what yesterday's verse was, sort of keeps it going. So I will give you a Bible verse after we pray. So let's go ahead and start us out in prayer. Holy God, mighty God, Heavenly Father, we come to you with hearts of thanksgiving and gratitude. Lord, we lay everything at your feet. We lay it at your altar and we lift it up to you. We are so thankful for all that you do and all that you provide for us. And we know that you are in control of all things and you have a plan. It's been set down since the beginning of time. And we know that you have a plan and you are working it all to the good of your kingdom. So thank you. Lord, we're most grateful for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, his blood that was shed for our sins. Lord, we thank you for giving your Son up for us. We are not worthy of it. We do not deserve it, but you gave us this gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. So thank you so much for that. Lord, I lift up all those who are out there, who are in need of prayer. I just popped into my head our friend Teresa, who's out there. Lord, I lift her up to you. Guide and direct her in all things. I pray over her friend who is battling cancer. Lord, we pray for strength and endurance while he's going through his chemotherapy and all the things that he needs to do to battle this and to defeat it in your name. I pray that you will defeat it. And Lord, I lift up those, there are other people out there in the world who are listening maybe right now, and I pray for whatever their needs are, Lord, whether it is a job or maybe a marriage, children, their relationships with their kids. I mean, there's always something, there's always a challenge, Lord. Maybe they're having doubts about what they are doing in their lives. You know, I totally can relate to that. Lord, I pray against the enemy to give us any doubt of what we're supposed to be doing in our lives. I pray against any evil or evildoers in our lives. I just pray for a hedge of protection. Send your angels to protect us, our families, our friends, Lord. Watch over us and protect us. We know that if we are in your will, that you will guide and direct us and you will lead us to where we're supposed to be going as long as we're listening to what you have to say. In order to get to hearing you, we know that we have to be in your word and praying every day and reading every day. So Lord, thank you for giving us this manual for life. Your Bible, your word is precious to us, and we are so thankful that we get to dive in and read it every single day. Lord, I lift up those who have students in school, college students who are probably winding down, doing finals, and just, Lord, protect them, guide them, direct them, and help them to finish out strong, Lord. We ask you just help them. I pray they're looking to you for help and guidance and direction. So, you know, make it clear that you are the one. You are performing the miracles in their lives. I pray that it is so incredibly clear to them that it is you, that there is no other way. Lord, I invite you into this time in your word. I pray you bless it, anoint it, and reveal to us what it is that you want us to learn. Lord, take us where you want us to go. Let us meet the people you want us to meet. Let us say the words you want us to say. Keep us out of your way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Sorry, that kind of went a little bit over. But you know what? When the Holy Spirit gets you when you're praying, you got to just kind of let it flow out. So, and that's many times I feel like that. You know, I think I kind of touched on it from last week that, you know, the Holy Spirit washes over us. He guides us. He directs us. We have to lean into that. And the way you lean into it is by reading God's word. And I know that we're in the Old Testament, but man, God is so good and so clear as to who he is as we're reading through Kings. And today is amazing when I get to read about the miracle that Elisha performs. Again, it's amazing to me. And I find it refreshing to be able to get a little more insight as to who God is through this. But also, I was indicating yesterday that, you know, sometimes, yesterday or the day before, sometimes the enemy just kind of gets in your head and makes you doubt and makes you wonder and you're not sure. And, you know, sometimes he's very stealth. You know, I said that the other day. He's kind of like, you know, flying under the radar. He's not like, sometimes he's not all out in a war against you, you know, sending, you know, bad news of, you know, cancer, or your spouse comes home and asks for a divorce, or, you know, these big life-changing things. Sometimes he doesn't do that. Sometimes he's just, you know, kind of pecking at you. And that's the way I feel right now. I feel like he's pecking at me. So that's why I'm continuing to do this, because I feel like, you know, I've said this before, if you're doing it right, then maybe there's something. If Satan's after you, it means you're doing something right. That's, you know, so I feel like I'm doing something right and he's pecking at me, very, you know, under the radar. So, all right, I'm going to go ahead and give you your Bible verse of the day, which, like I said, came from the back of this Bible. I just happened to look at the back of it, never noticed that little Bible verse on the back of this particular Bible. And it says, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. I think that kind of leans into what I was saying yesterday about, you know, letting God help us with our path in life. You know, if you continue to walk with God humbly, you know, if you put his will above your will, he will bless you, I believe. And, you know, I've seen it. I'm seeing it. I'm watching it. I watch it in other people's lives. And, you know, do what's right. Make good choices. You know, we are humans. And so, you know, I put it out there that I am a Christian, first and foremost. I am not perfect. Definitely not perfect. Far from it. I'm a sinner, just like anybody else is out there sinning. And when you recognize that you're a sinner, because you can't help it, because we're human, then, you know, once you recognize that, you can move on, you know. And I can say it confidently that, like I said, I'm not perfect. I am going to sin. And I'm apologizing in advance that I will probably sin against somebody in my family or one of my friends. I will do something, say something, whatever it might be. So I apologize in advance for being human and the sinner that I am. So, you know, I try to be as humble as I can. I try not to be judgmental. That's for God to do. And so, you know, many, many, many times Christians are being accused of being judgmental. Yeah, I'm sure there are many judgmental Christians, you know, or are they just being like Jeremiah? You know, I'm reading through Jeremiah and he's telling the Israelites, he's like, look, you guys are sinners. God is mad and he's going to strike you guys down. You know, is he being judgmental? No, he's being a prophet bringing the message of the Lord. Well, you know, sometimes maybe a Christian may come off as being judgmental, but maybe they're just trying to make you recognize that you've done something wrong, or maybe you should be doing something different, more godly. I don't know what it is, but, you know, non-Christians tend to believe that Christians are very judgy. And there are many, many Christians who are judgy. You know, but it makes me sad that, unfortunately, people lump all Christians into one big pot. And that's kind of sad to me. It is what it is. All right, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get into a whole... Not on my soapbox, by all means. I did do a lot of highlighting in this because in this chapter 5, because way back in the day, I think my son was in like 4th or 5th grade, Gabriel's class did a little play during chapel of this, which I find fascinating that they dove into the Old Testament. So I was a strong believer, but I wasn't actively reading my Bible, so I had no idea where the story came from. Now I know, and I recognized it when I read it, so I did a lot of highlighting in here. Okay, so we are episode 119.5, and this is chapter 5, 2 Kings. The healing of Naaman. Naaman? I don't know how to say that, but Naaman. The king of Aram had great admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him the Lord had given Aram great victories. But though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy. At this time, Aramean raiders had invaded the land of Israel, and among their captives was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. One day, the girl said to her mistress, "I wish my master would go to see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy." So Naaman told the king what the young girl from Israel had said. "Go and visit the prophet," the king of Aram told him. "I will send a letter of introduction for you to take to the king of Israel." So Naaman started out carrying as gifts 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter to the king of Israel said, "With this letter, I present my servant Naaman. I want you to heal him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes in dismay and said, "Am I God that I can give life and take it away? Why is this man asking me to heal someone with leprosy? I can see that he's just trying to pick a fight with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes in dismay, he sent this message to him. "Why are you so upset?" said Naaman. "Send Naaman to me, and he will learn that there is a true prophet here in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and waited out at the door of Elisha's house. But Elisha sent a messenger out to him with this message: "Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Then your skin will be restored and you will be healed of your leprosy." But Naaman became angry and stalked away. "I thought he would certainly come out to meet me," he said. "I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and heal me. Aren't the rivers of Damascus and the Abana and the Pharpar better than any of the rivers of Israel? Why shouldn't I wash in them and be healed?" So Naaman turned and went away in a rage. But his officers tried to reason with him and said, "Sir, if the prophet had told you to do something very difficult, wouldn't you have done it? So you should certainly obey when he says simply, 'Go and wash and be cured.'" So Naaman went down to the Jordan River and dipped himself 7 times as the man of God had instructed him. And his skin became as healthy as the skin of a young child, and he was healed. Then Naaman and his entire party went back to find the man of God. They stood before him, and Naaman said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant." But Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept any gifts. And though Naaman urged him to take the gift, Elisha refused. Then Naaman said, "All right, but please allow me to load two of my mules with earth from this place, and I will take it back home with me. From now on, I will never again offer burnt offerings or sacrifices to any other god except the Lord. However, may the Lord pardon me in this one thing. When my master, the king, goes into the temple of the god Rimmon to worship there and leans on my arm, may the Lord pardon me when I bow too." "Go in peace," Elisha said. So Naaman started home again. The greed of Gehazi. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said to himself, "My master should not have let this Aramean get away without accepting any of his gifts. As surely as the Lord lives, I will chase after him and get something from him." So Gehazi set off after Naaman. When Naaman saw Gehazi running after him, he climbed down from his chariot and went to meet him. "Is everything all right?" Naaman asked. "Yes," Gehazi said, "but my master has sent me to tell you that two young prophets from the hill country of Ephraim have just arrived. He would like 75 pounds of silver and two sets of clothing to give to them." "By all means, take twice as much silver," Naaman insisted. He gave him two sets of clothing, tied up the money in two bags, and sent two of his servants to carry the gifts for Gehazi. But when they arrived at the citadel, Gehazi took the gifts from the servants and sent the men back. Then he went and hid the gifts inside the house. When he went in to his master, Elisha asked him, "Where have you been, Gehazi?" "I haven't been anywhere," he replied. But Elisha asked him, "Don't you realize that I was there in spirit when Naaman stepped down from his chariot to meet you? Is this the time to receive money and clothing, olive groves and vineyards, sheep and cattle, and male and female servants? Because you have done this, you and your descendants will suffer from Naaman's leprosy forever." When Gehazi left the room, he was covered with leprosy. His skin was white as snow. Mm-mm-mm. Telling you, don't mess with God. That's what I learned from this. God is a loving God, and he loves us so much. But man, you cross him and that's it. You know, he's very, very vengeful too at the same time. So I highlighted like 90% of this. I found it fascinating how this all kind of unraveled. You know, poor Naaman's covered with leprosy. His raiders invaded Israel and took this young girl who's given to Naaman's wife. And then the girl says, you know, "I wish that my master would go and get healed from the prophet in Samaria." So, of course, he goes with the king's blessing and shows up. Elisha knows that he's going to be doing this because he's a prophet. And he tells him to just go dip yourself in the water and you're going to get healed. I mean, how simple is that? And then he gets mad because he told him to do something so simple. Well, thank goodness his officers realize, you know, you're being kind of foolish. If this guy's just telling you to dip yourself in the water, go do it. What's the harm? So he does, and he gets healed. And so, of course, Naaman wants to say thank you to Elisha, but Elisha is being very humble, and he says, you know, don't worry about it. And so he tells him to go in peace because Naaman is ready to go home. But he's asking for pardon for having to go with his king to when he goes to worship the other idols. And then Gehazi, who gets greedy, you know, how foolish is he? He lies. You know, he says to himself, you know, my master shouldn't, you know, let this guy get away without paying us. And so, you know, and he lies to Naaman and says that his master sent him because these two other prophets show up. So he's using that to get what he wants. Steals the money, puts it in his house. And then Elisha is like, well, what have you been doing? I've been right here. And Elisha's like, no, you haven't. You're bold-faced lying to me. And because of that, you know what? I took away the leprosy from, or God took away the leprosy from Naaman. But you know what? You're going to have leprosy. And so are your descendants. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So I found this, this is such a great story. I mean, I know there's probably more to it than what I'm reading, but I just find it amazing. So we're coming into some more of Elisha's miracles that are going on in this 2 Kings. I think this is so cool. All right. Well, as always, I am at that moment where I will be giving, I will be saying the prayer of salvation. If you have not accepted Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior, then this is your moment. Maybe. I mean, if you feel like God is calling you, if you're actually on this website or listening this podcast, maybe this is your indication. This is God calling you. So I'm going to say the prayer, and I hope that you choose to say it as well and be a brother or sister in Christ. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, today I put my trust in you. I am not perfect and know that I have sinned against you. Please forgive me. I thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. It is his perfect and spotless blood that covers all of my sins, past, present, and future. On this day, I accept him as my Lord and Savior into my heart and will live my life for him. Thank you for my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer for the first time, congratulations. You are now a brother or sister in Christ. You've given your heart to Jesus. It's a new day. It's a new birthday. It's a day of celebration. Go tell the person who's been praying for you, because I'm sure there's somebody out there who's been praying for you. And go celebrate. We would love to hear from you. You can email Lorraine at leapoffaithpodcast.org or Jeremiah at leapoffaithpodcast.org. Love to hear from you. You can message us on Facebook or Instagram, however you choose. We would love to hear from you. So, and we also encourage you to get to a church, a pastor, get your questions answered. I'm sure you got a ton of questions. Maybe you're a Christian coming back into your faith again. Maybe you kind of fell off for a little bit. Who knows? Whatever that might look like, I don't know. But get involved with your church, mission work, ministry, Bible studies, volunteer, whatever it is that God's calling you to do. Go do it, because being obedient is what he wants us to be. So if there's anything that rings true in all of these chapters, is be obedient, listen to God, pray to God, read his word, get to know him. That is what he wants. He wants a relationship with you, and whatever that might look like. So, all right, well, that's it for today. God bless you. I am so glad that I was able to lead this Bible study today with you. I don't know what time of day it is, morning, noon, or night. Just glad you're here and you are actively seeking God. So take care, and I will see you tomorrow. Take care.